ज्योतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजना शलाखया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरुवे नमः। श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदामयं ददाति स्वपदांतिकम्। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामा राम रामा हरे हरे। सप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी विषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। Extremely grateful to all of you for having this wonderful opportunity of being with all of you in Balram Desh. My sweet memories are lingering in the mind of my association with all of you, and very sweet experience and wonderful experience, longing to be there again as soon as Radharani allows, Balramji allows.
Most welcome to you.
Just before few minutes I heard, while getting ready, I heard Radha Kripa Kataksha. Kada karishyasi hamam Kripa Kataksha bhajanam, Kada karishyasi hamam Kripa Kataksha bhajanam. O Radhe, when you will cast your merciful glance upon me, when you will deliver me, when you will accept me as your own. This wonderful shloka or the composition is done by Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva has composed this most wonderful set of shlokas, and he has offered this to his dear wife Parvati. What a gift to offer Parvati Devi. And in all the verses, you know, Muninda Vrinda Vandite Triloka Shoka Harini Prasanna Vaktra Pankaje Nikunja Bhuvilasini Brajendra Bhanu Brajendra Sunu Sangate Brajendra Bhanu Nandini Kada Karishyasi Hamam Kripa Kataksha Bhajanam. This beautiful verses, at every end of the fourth line is Kada Karishyasi Hamam Kripa Kataksha Bhajanam. And it goes on wonderfully describing the beautiful qualities of Radharani. Extraordinary literary creation. Extraordinary. Very high level esoteric description of Radharani, and also very high level of composition. But you will find in the end, the last verse, that is, there is no Kada Karishyasi Hamam. In the end there is Mandala Praveshanam. It is said that by chanting this verse, especially he is standing in Radha Kunda, 100 times sitting in the waist deep of water or chest deep of water, chanting this shloka composition 100 times, one will receive the love from Radharani's grace for Radha and Krishna in our heart. And one will have Mandala Praveshanam. One will be guaranteed the entry to Golok Vrindavan Dham, at the divine abode of Radha and Krishna, the abode of love. So thank you very much for reciting the slokas. My wife was reciting with all of you incognito. Thank you. We are very fortunate to have this wonderful festival of Radharani's appearance day, Radha Ashtami. The most sacred festival, but most confidential festival. The most famous festival is the Gokulashtami, Janmashtami. But the most confidential, wonderful festival is Radha Ashtami. Because Janmashtami has a meaning because of Radha Ashtami. Because Radha is there, that is the meaning to Krishna. Gaudiya Vaishnavas say that we worship Krishna because he is connected with Radharani. Otherwise there is no business to worship Krishna. Because he is connected with our dear Radharani, we worship him. That is of course a very poetic loving statement. From Siddhanta point of view, we know Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Radha Tattva, we will try to understand in brief. You must have heard several times, but before we enter into the description of Radharani's glory, we must know where we stand, where she stands, and where everything stands. She is the first creation of Krishna from the left side of his body. And she is the internal potency of Krishna. She is not different from Krishna. She is Supreme Personality of Godhead, the feminine form. There is no difference between Radha and Krishna. She is also Bhagavan, Krishna also is Bhagavan. But the only difference is she is fair in color, golden yellow in color, and Krishna is dark blue in color. And other difference is Krishna is Vishaya Vigraha, Krishna is the goal, and Radharani is Ashraya Vigraha, the shelter. To achieve the goal, one needs to have shelter of Radharani first. When we achieve the shelter of Radharani, she accepts us even though we are unqualified, but she accepts us, gives shelter to us, and because of our shelter, we finally, by her grace, attain the Vishaya Vigraha, that is Sri Krishna. And another difference between Radha and Krishna is, she is internal potency of Krishna and she is Antaranga Shakti. Although she is equal to Radharani, equal to Krishna, but she is superior to Krishna in compassion. Although she is a very embodiment of compassion of Krishna, she is still more compassionate. When that compassion of Krishna manifests in the form of Radha, she becomes more compassionate than Krishna. And it is proved. Krishna cursed Ashwatthama. Radharani freed Ashwatthama from Krishna's curse. Released him, gave him pure love, made him pure devotee, transformed him from a very sinful situation to a pure devotee of Radha and Krishna, and gave him residence in a village called Pipasavan or Pisaya, just near Barsana. So there are many stories which prove that she is very much more merciful. Even if Krishna is a very difficult person to achieve, but Radharani is very merciful and makes Krishna achievable. So we all worship Radharani. We take her shelter. And she then gives rise to many, many Shaktis of Krishna. The first and prominent Shakti that she gives rise to is Durga Devi, Bhairanga Shakti of Krishna, Radharani's expansion. Then by her mercy and potency, we all are created. And she is especially the Ladini Shakti of Krishna, the pleasure potency of Krishna. Balaram is Sandhini potency of Krishna, the joining potency of Krishna. So then we all are created, the Tatastha Shakti, the marginal potency. And then Radharani creates all the Lakshmis of Vaikuntha. Radharani creates all the Dwarka Mahishis, the Dwarka wives of Krishna. Then Radharani creates all the demigoddesses in the heavenly planets. So this is how Radharani is in control. The Pradhan Shakti, the principal potencies amongst the unlimited potencies of Krishna. And the potency is so powerful that the potency is also controlling the supreme controller. Bhoktaram Yajnatapasam Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, that personality who gives knowledge, remembrance and forgetfulness, that personality who is to be known from all the Vedas, that personality who is the creator of Vedas, that personality who is to be known from the Vedas, that personality who is Veda himself, that supreme controller, supreme proprietor, supreme enjoyer, without whose desire even one blade of grass does not move, that supreme controller personality, Sri Krishna, is controlled by the power of love of Radharani. So she is love personified. She is love personified for Krishna and compassion personified for all of us. That same love that she has for Krishna transforms into compassion as far as we are in connection with her. When she turns to Krishna, it is love. When she turns to us, it becomes compassion. It's an extremely wonderful situation and very hope-giving situation because Krishna is ananyaschintayantamam yojana paripasade. Accept you unless and until you do ananya bhakti. You have no abhilasha, anya abhilashita shunyam, jnana karmadi anavritam, anukallena krishna anushilanam. Then only he is achievable. But even in the stage of preparation, even in the middle of the stage of preparation, not fully prepared, still Radharani accepts us and then makes us ready for Krishna. So it's a hope-giving situation. Radharani is a very hope-giving situation. She is our hope, she is our faith that she will deliver us. She is a very merciful mother, universal mother, and we are very grateful to her. This is Radha Tattva. Then we come to Vrindavan Dham, the divine abode of Sri Krishna and the only abode in the whole creation, which is non-different from Goloka Vrindavan, where Krishna comes, even giving up his own position as Krishna, as the Lord. He gives up his Bhagavata, his position of being the Lord. He steals that knowledge in the realized souls that he is the Lord. Through the power of Jagan Mohini Mata, he steals all knowledge in the hearts of, from the hearts and brains of those who are going to take birth in Vrindavan Dham, and then comes as a simple person, not as a king, not as a supreme lord, not as anything else. Just simple, dear Krishna, somebody's son, somebody's friend, somebody's lover. With all the simplistic mood, he comes to experience the highest form of purest love. He comes to Golok Vrindavan and he doesn't mean wear footwear. That's why his souls are touching the land of Vrindavan. Even when he appeared, Bhumi Devi was so happy because she is the wife of Krishna in Vaikuntha. And she was so happy only for one reason, that now his two lotus feet are going to be my ornaments. His footprints are going to be my pride and my fortune. So she was extremely happy and she just became so much blossomed. She presented the best of all situations with all the six seasons, with everything else, the flowers and trees and everything else. Everything that she had and possessed, she presented in the best form to welcome Krishna. Because his bare lotus feet are going to now ornament her chest with his footprints. So the raj of the feet of Krishna is only available in Sri Vrindavan Dham. Rest all Dwarka, Mathura, Jagannath Puri, Ayodhya, and Ranganathji. Everywhere else he lives in the form of a king with opulence. So always wears diamond-studded, jewel-studded footwear, and always walks with those footwear also on the sateen carpet. And always travels on the chariot driven by Daruka. So even though he is living everywhere, there is no question of braj raj. I mean, there is no question of raj, charan raj, the dust of lotus feet. So every single personality, all the great personalities like demigods, devarishis, dhyanis, tapis, rishis, everybody, they come to Vrindavan to take the dust of lotus feet of Krishna because it is available there. And the dust of lotus feet of Krishna is endowed with all the secrets of the love and devotion that one needs to have for Krishna, for his devotees. But one unique thing is that everybody comes to Vrindavan to take the dust of Krishna. Where does Krishna go? He goes to Barsana to take the dust of Radharani's lotus feet. So one whose dust is sought after by the greatest of all greatest personalities, he comes to the holy abode of Radharani, the kingdom of Radharani, the capital of Radharani, Sri Barsana Dham. There are many meanings of word Barsana. Barsana means constant shower of great mellow of love and devotion. Another word is Varsyanu. Varsyanu means very beautiful mountain peaks. One another name is Bharatsanu, as per Shandilya Rishi. Vishwanu Graha also is mentioned in scriptures. Vishwanu Pur also is mentioned. So these are all beautiful names of Radharani's kingdom. And that kingdom is specialized by Sri Krishna's coming in and offering Dandavat Pranam. Sri Krishna's bowing down. Sri Krishna's rolling in the dust, knowing that she has walked over this beautiful dust. So he rolls in the dust. He offers himself. Plus he becomes a gopi. He becomes a sakhi, Shama Sakhi. He gives up even his masculine form and becomes a gopi, Shama Gopi, Shama Sakhi, to respect Radharani, because everybody comes in Barsana in Shama, in Sakhi form. That is the greatness of Barsana Dham, because it is kingdom of Radharani. So it is said that one cannot purchase even one grain of dust from Barsana. With wealth of all the Vaikuntha planets, it's only imagination that we will ever have the wealth of Vaikuntha planets. It's just for time being we can imagine that we have all the wealth of all the Vaikuntha unlimited planets that Krishna has created in the spiritual world. But with all that wealth we can't even purchase one grain of dust from Barsana or from Vrindavan also. Because in that each grain of dust from Barsana, it is hidden. Hidden in that is the secret of the success of life. The most important success, the highest truth, which is desired by everybody, is contained in that one drop, one dust particle of Barsana. So imagine if Krishna is so eager to have that dust, what is our question? Who are we? We are insignificant, conditioned, sinful people, fallen people in the material world, Dehadhari, require this material body, birth, old age, disease and death. Adi Daivika, Adi Bhautika, Adi Atmika, Tap is constantly bothering us. We are entangled. So how much eager we have to be? Huh? If Krishna is pleading for that dust, if Krishna is crying for that dust, if Krishna is begging for that love from Radharani, how much we need to beg? How much we need to be humble and crying? Because Krishna is most beloved personality of Radharani, and we have to yet develop that love. We are still trying to have some faith and trying to call out their names, trying to follow principles, struggling most of the times. So we have to prepare our consciousness. We have to prepare our mind and not take this dham lightly. Even though we are sitting in our cities because of corona lockdown, we are entering Barsana in a very subtle way, in a virtual way. So even then, when we are entering with mind, we have to prepare our consciousness with great awe and reverence, great devotion, great appreciation, great respect, that we are allowed to make an entry with the company of devotees, sincere devotees. Radharani is so kind, nothing that we do makes us qualified. But still she allows us entrance in Vrindavan Dham, in Barsana Dham. Although she stays in Barsana, but she controls whole of Braj Mandala. No one chants Krishna's name there. Everybody says Jai Sri Radhe, Radhe Radhe. Because everybody knows that the Vishaya Vigraha, achievable personality, is going to be attracted to us only by one way, by calling the name of his beloved. If we call him, he may not respond. If we call his beloved, then he may turn and say, who is calling my beloved? So we first say Hare, and then we say Krishna. By saying Hare, we attract his attention, and then we call him, so he looks at us. That is how every day we should chant. not speed up. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Rama. This is what we chant sometimes. But this is not chanting. This is finishing. We should not finish our rounds. We should chant our rounds. We should not chant our rounds. We should call the names of the Lord. Hare Krishna. So that the supreme Vishaya Vigraha will be looking at us. Will be listening to our call. Just by mechanically chanting, they will not listen. We call them with heart, with urge in the heart, with devotion. Then they will look at us. And we want that Kada Karishya Siha Maam Kripa Kataksha Bhajanam. We just don't want him to see us. We want Kripa Kataksha. We want that merciful glance which can save us, which can give us strength, which can nourish us, which can uplift us. That Kripa Kataksha even helped Krishna to lift Govardhan also. Imagine Supreme Personality of Godhead, all strong, all powerful personality, was supported by the merciful glance of Radharani, which gave him strength to lift Govardhan mountain. We are seeking for that glance. So that glance cannot come just by mechanically chanting. The glance will come only when we cry out with great devotion, with great humility, great helplessness. Like Prabhupada said, like a baby crying for his mother. That kind of helplessness we should create. Every morning there is an opportunity to create that mood of helplessness and dependency and beg for the shelter of Radharani. And she is eager to give. The moment we are feeling helpless and feeling dependence on her, she immediately accepts. Like the moment the child cries, the mother comes running to pick up the child. The child is not crying helplessly, mother keeps working. The child is crying helplessly, mother comes running. So that is the importance of Barsana Dham. And more than Barsana Dham, the dust of Barsana Dham. When we go to Barsana, we are told that in Barsana, the air that we breathe is pure nectar. It's sampukta rasa, that means saturated with rasa. The water that we drink is saturated with rasa. The prasad that we drink, we eat, honor, is filled with rasa. Whatever we do is filled with rasa. We may not know, we may not experience, but we are dealing with direct saturated rasa atmosphere. So we have to be in full appreciation and full awareness that where are we going, which place we are going to enter, what mercy is available. We cannot imagine. It is said once we go to Barsana, to Vrindavan Dham and Barsana, once we go with proper consciousness that one visit to Barsana is enough for us to go back to Godhead. That is enough asset, enough investment. But that consciousness is extremely important. How we prepare our consciousness, how humble we are, how in subservient mood we are, how is Sakhi Bhav means in subservient, in Sevak Bhav, in the mood of Seva, in the mood of nothingness, that we are simply a servant. Kim Kari, Kim Karaha, what do I do? Kim Karaha, what should I do? That's all we have to have in our mind. What do I do to please you, my Lord? What do I do to please you, dear Radharani? And the easiest way to please them and please her is to please her devotees, the Vrindavasis, the dearmost souls, who take birth there by her mercy, by her exclusive choice and mercy. Those souls take birth there. They are dear, dear souls of Radharani. They take birth there, and when they have apparently some problem, which gives us opportunity for them to help them through creating pleasure in those wonderful devotees, Vrijvasis, we receive the pleasure of Radharani. We have been told umpty number of times when we serve the Vrijvasis in Barsana and they smile at us with satisfaction, Radha and Krishna are directly smiling at us. When they are pleased, Radharani and Krishna are pleased. When they give us blessings, that means Radha and Krishna are giving blessings. So in the conditioned state, we may not have darshan of Radha and Krishna, but they are still giving darshan to us through the smiles of the Vrijvasis. Vrijvasis don't need actually our services. But this is an opportunity for us because we want to go and serve. We want to please. The only way to please is to serve. And that mood of service we have to create before entering Barsana. So Barsana Dham, Radharani's Dham, is known for four things: Khor, Khirak, Giri, and Ghevar. I repeat again: Khor. Khor means a lane or narrow lane. Sankhri Khor. Khirak means water reservoir, ponds of water like Pili Pokhar, Bhanokhar, Kirti Sarovar, Dohani Kund, Bihar Kund, Ghevar Kund, and many more such kund, Prem Sarovar. So Khirak means water reservoir. Giri means mountain, as I had already told you. It is Varsyanu, it is beautified by four beautiful mountain peaks. And fourth is Ghevar. Ghevar means overwhelming emotion. In Marathi also we know, Hindi also we know, Ghevar means overwhelming emotion. And there is a forest called Ghevarvan, which is created by Radharani herself by her own sweet hands. She has planted the trees, creepers, and small bushes, and every single beautiful thing by her own hands. She has watered them personally, she has nourished them personally, maintained them personally, grown them personally. That is the speciality of Ghevarvan. And in childhood, she would marry the creepers as females to the trees as males. Radha and Krishna would have the fun of marrying the creepers to trees. And Ghevarvan is a very, very, very intimate place, very private place. It's called as the most interior confidential plot of Braj Bhumi, called as Nibhruta Nikunja. Nibhruta Nikunja Vrindavan, where only Radha and Krishna meet. The Sakhis just arrange everything and go away, and they only enter. And it's filled with all arch-like arrangements with flowing vines and fragrant flowers and flower beds and flower kunja, flower mandala, flower gruha, all flower beautiful arrangements, flowing creepers from the arch-like arrangements. Krishna is taking the hand of Radharani and lifting all the creepers by one hand, making way and entering to the narrow beautiful lanes of Ghevarvan. So the story of Giri is like this. At the beginning of the creation, we all know Brahma was created by Krishna, and Brahma was in bewilderment, in darkness. He didn't know what was the purpose of his creation, why he has come here, what he has to do, what is his seva. Everything was completely in ignorance. And then Krishna enlightened him within his heart with Chatushloki Bhagavatam, and with those slokas that was chanted in his heart, Brahma realized every single thing that he has to know. It's not just knowledge, it's realization was completely bestowed upon him. It's very lucky of Brahma actually. Within no time he was given the full realization about everything, what he has to do, what is he, what is his role, what the world is all about, the reality of the world, full realization he got. So what is the symptom of realization? Immediately he sat for worshipping Krishna. He sat for worshipping Krishna and meditated for 60,000 years of Satyayuga in the beginning of first Satyayuga of the first Kalpa of his creation. But Krishna did not respond to him. So he went on his duty. He did, for Satyayuga is always 17,28,000 years. So first 60,000 years he did dhyana. The last 60,000 years again he did dhyana. And at the end of 120,000 years of his dhyana, Krishna appeared. And what did Krishna ask him? Purakrute yugasyante brahmana prarthito hari. Mamopari sada tvam hi rasa kidam kareshyasi. Sarvabhir rajagopini prabhut bhale krithartha krutha. I want to get krithartha, I want to get satisfied, I want to get perfected. I want to, krithartha means, I can't explain it in English, krithartha means you feel so satisfied and so complete and fulfilled. How? When brajagopi bhi, sarva bhi brajagopi, all the brajagopis and you will rasa kridam karishyasi, when you will dance on me, Mamopari, Sadatvam hi. Please, I beg you. Then Krishna said, Tato Brahman, O Brahma, Vrajam Gatva, Vrishvano Purangataha. Please go to Braja. Brahma asked, Braja is very big, where should I go? He said, Gatva, Vrishvano Purangataha. Parvato Bhavasi Tvam hi. Become mountain there. Mamakridam cha paschasi. That means, when you will become mountain there, I will perform lila on your head and you will be able to observe. Mamakridam, my lila, you will be able to observe. Yasmad brahma prabhato bhadu vishbhano purepitaha. By this way, this is explained in Ved Bhakti Vilas. By this particular way, Brahma assumed the form of a mountain in Varsana. And because he had four heads, there are four mountain peaks. And there is a pond in between called Gahavar Kund, that is the Nabhi, that is the umbilicus of Brahma. And it's a beautiful situation, and these particular mountains, they are touching one another, and then one particular mountain meets another mountain. There is a narrow lane that is created. And that lane is called Sankri Khor. One person can go one time in one direction only. No two persons can go together, or neither one person coming here, one person going there. It's a very narrow lane. And then one end is Varsana, another end is towards Nandagaon, not Nandagaon. So from Nandagaon, Krishna comes and Gopas come, and from Varsana, Radharani and Gopis come, and then Krishna and Gopas stop them there. And there's a lot of what you call nok jok. Nok jok means lot of argument is there. Whether you are the boss, I am the boss, you give taxes, not yours, it's all not yours. Constantly discussion goes on. Then suddenly the naughty Krishna, the arrogant Krishna, the breaks the pot over the head of Radharani. And Radharani gets very morose, very embarrassed, and Lalita gets angry and defends Radharani. And then that pot falls, and then Krishna starts licking that butter which is on the stone, and the stone has also become white and very glistening and very slippery. Even today if you go, the stone is still glistening. And then other times Radharani and group of gopis overwhelm Krishna with their power of love, make Krishna Balram helpless. Radhana Swami told one time, everywhere everybody calls, Krishna Krishna Mahabaho, please save us, O Krishna Balaram. And they come running and they save Brijvasi boys from the danger. And here Radharani ties their shikhas to the branches of the tree. And then all the coward boys are shouting, Krishna, Krishna, Balaram, save us. We are tied up here. We are stuck on the tree by the shikhas being tied by the gopis. And then they hear Krishna Balaram calling, Oh Sridhama, Oh Arjuna, Oh Madhumangala, Oh Subala, Ujbala, please save us. They are so surprised. Our saviors are calling out for help. And His Holiness Radhana Swami asked us, why? Why everywhere they are saving and here they are helpless? And we couldn't answer. So we crossed Sankri Khor and went down to Varsana side, and he said, yes, now I will tell you. Because here Radharani's love is most overwhelming and most powerful, and it overwhelms Krishna and Balaram both. That's why they become helpless, then they get tied up, they get arrested. And then they say, yes, yes. Gopis say, Radharani says, only if you promise us that you will come tomorrow as Gopi, your Sardar, Senapati, Commander-in-Chief will become Radharani, will dress up as a girl, and bring a pot of yogurt, and Balramji will do same, and coward boys will do same. All of them will become gopis, bringing milk, yogurt, and butter. And our queen Radharani will become a boy in the dress as Krishna, and we all will dress up as coward boys, and we will take tax from you, we'll break your pot and eat your butter and milk and yogurt. And that's what loving pastimes. And you know something? When these loving arguments and fights and activities are going on, Brahma is simply melting in ecstasy. Simply melting in ecstasy. He's hard stone actually. But when they come, first of all to serve them, you become soft, so that their feet should not feel the hardness. And when they perform pastimes, he starts melting, so further softer he becomes. So their footprints are there, the way pot where the pot fell down, that mark is there, where Krishna licked it by hand, handprint is there. When Krishna was arrested, his peta was pulled by the gopis, his turban, like, no, pulling the turban is called insulting, very insulting. If you pull somebody's turban, means you insult. If you pull somebody's uttariya vastra, it's insult. It's below dignity, it's indignity. So Radharani and gopis pull the turban, and that turban, which is a long cloth, rounded up in the on the head, opens up and becomes a long cloth. And then when the cloth is being pulled, due to ecstasy of Brahma, that even the thread, that the line on which the turban is pulled, that is, there's an imprint there. It creates a print. Today also you can go and see the where the line of pulling the turban is there, where the hands, handprint is there. The stone which has become white in color and very slippery, very smooth because of the butter being there. These things are unbelievable. Today is 5,247 years have passed after Krishna's birth. But still the stone is still slippery and white in color, and all the stones are black in color. So this pastime takes place Sakri Kaur. And in Gehwarban, I will tell you later on Gehwarban. And in the Khirat, that Lohani Kund where Vishwanu Maharaja's cows are being milked. And very beautiful huge pond is there where Vishwanu Maharaj will store the milk in the pond. We are storing in 2-liter pot A2 milk that we get in the market with great research. And we have 2-liter pot with 1.5 liters of milk in that. It is so precious. And you can see all the Kamadhenu cows, millions in number, are milked there. And all the milk is stored there in Dohani Kund. Another meaning of Dohani is Dona. The Kadamba trees over there would, you know, inbuilt cups would be grown. Because all the Kadamba trees had a meeting one day. They said, Krishna always comes up, plucks our leaves, and then he has to make into the cups. He has to prepare the cups. Why should you make Krishna make the cups? We should create ready-made cups on the tree. So at Krishna's time, the Kadamba trees would create ready-made cups. Even I have seen 35 years back, the cup leaves coming on Kadamba trees. I have seen in Ter Kadamba, I have seen in Barsana near Dhoni Kund. Now it all trees have disappeared. Only leaves come on that. So one time Krishna came there in Dhoni Kund, and Radha Rani's cows, Prishmanu Maharaj's cows were being milked. So Krishna said, can I milk this cow? Can I make one of the cow? Yes, yes. Radha Rani held the calf and was very intently looking how expert Krishna was. The way he tied the hind legs, the way he took his sitting position, the way he took the pot, the way he patted the cow with so much love, and cow was so enlivened having Krishna's touch, and how he milked the cow so graciously, with such musical sound coming, and he was milking the cow with so much of devotion, love and affection. And she was so lost in watching Krishna. Krishna was so lost in milking. And suddenly Krishna looked at Radharani and he twisted one of the udder, and that whole stream of milk went on the face of Radharani, and her eyes were completely filled with milk. She could not see anything. She was so surprised. Suddenly he changed the direction of the udder and sprinkled Radharani's face with the gorasa. That's what pastime took place in Dhoni Kund. So, I will tell you some few histories of Barsana Dham. There were three Mahasatis in Vaikuntha. And one time they went to Shvetadvipa Vaikuntha to meet Vishnu. And the four Kumaras were small baby in naked form. They were just laying there. And these three Mahasatis forgot or somehow did not offer obeisances to these great rishis, the great ancient oldest rishis of millions of years old. And because of that, they cursed the Mahasatis that you will become Manavi, you have to go to earth and take human body. And immediately Vaikuntha Vishnu came out and said, oh, I'm sorry, it is not a curse, it's a blessing on you. Because I want three Mahasatis to be born through you. So those three Mahasatis took birth as Himalaya's wife, Maina or Menaka. and as wife of Janak Maharaj, Sunaina, and third one who became Kalavati. They became Kalavati, Maina and Sunaina. Kalavati gave birth to Radharani in next life. Sunaina gave birth to Sita in Janakpuri, and Menaka gave birth to Parvati in Himalayas. So Kalavati got married with Suchandra, and they did they performed tapasya for 12 celestial years. I was calculating that day, 66,700 years. 7,77,866 earthly years they performed tapasya, eating only leaves that fell down on the ground on their own from trees. And Brahma appeared, pleased with their tapasya. They said, yes, what do you want? So Suchandra said that I want moksha. And Brahma said, tathastu. So Mahasati Kalavati got very angry. He said, how dare you give my husband moksha, leaving me behind? What will happen to me if I burn in separation? I will curse you. And Brahma, very well knowing the power of Mahasati, he just took a humble position. He said, yes, yes, my dear mother, I'm sorry. I just give you another option. You both can stay in my loka till the time of Vaivasvata Manu's 28th Dwapar will come. Till that time you enjoy in my kingdom of Brahma Loka. And then both of you will take birth. And the Antaranga Shakti of Krishna will become your daughter. And at the end of that life, you all will, both of you will get moksha and go back to Godhead. So she was pacified. And then they stayed in Brahma Loka from that time onwards. Till Vrishbhanu Maharaj, till 28th Dwapar Yuga of Vaivasvata Manu appeared, and before Krishna's birth, you know, Kunja Bhanu appeared. Kunja Bhanu gave birth to Mahi Bhanu. Mahi Bhanu gave birth to 9 sons, and in the 9th son, the middle one, the 5th one, was Vrishbhanu, who was incarnation of sun god Surya Deva in Surya Vamsha. And there near Govardhan, there was Indusen Gopa, and there was Mukhara Gopi, who gave birth to Kirtida. 3 brothers and 3 sisters. One of them was Kirtida, the one who gave glory to everybody who approached her. And then Nanda Maharaj was the one who proposed the wedding of Vrishbhanu Maharaj with Kirtida, and they were married, and then in opportune time Radharani was born. Another history is, in Surya Vamsha, Radharani took birth. In Chandra Vamsha, Krishna took birth. In Surya Vamsha, there was Sagar Raja who gave birth to Dilip, and Dilip was a great devotee of Krishna, also great devotee of cow. But one time he went to Swargaloka and he forgot inadvertently. He did not offer his pranams to Kamadhenu cow. And Kamadhenu cow, one place it is said that just because of not doing that, the demigods gave him curse. And one place he mentioned that she cursed him, that you have come here desiring son, you will not have son. But it is said that when she cursed, he couldn't hear the curse. He didn't even notice that she was cursing, because that time Airavata was dancing. And when Airavata dances for the pleasure of demigods, it creates a lot of sound. So in that sound, he could not hear the curse. He came down on earth. And you know, the Surya Vamsha Guru is Vasishtha Muni. Long time Dilip Raja did not have son. He went to his Guru Vasishtha and asked, Guru Maharaj, what has happened? I don't have a son. What is the reason? Please find out. So Vasishtha Muni was Trikaladarshi. He knew past, present and future. He sat for meditation. He noted that you have offended Kamadhenu cow and you have been cursed by her. Because of that, you will not get son. He said, Gurudev, I'm sorry. I love cows. How do I worship? How do I please her? He says she is now in tour with heavenly planets. She is not available, but her daughter is as good as her, Nandini, available with me. If you can serve her and please her, then you will be released from the curse of her mother. So with great love and devotion, this king Dilip served the cow, Nandini. And at one time, Nandini tested him. A tiger came to eat up Nandini, and King Dilip offered his body to the king, to the lion. Lion or tiger? I think lion. And the lion said, hey, why are you wasting your human body? This human body is very precious. You can use it for tapasya, you can use it for attaining the Lord. This human body is very rare. For an animal, you are sacrificing your life. And very significant answer Dilip gave, that what is the use of this life if I cannot protect cow? The cow is universal mother. The whole Vedic civilization is foundationally based on a cow. And on that basis, Brahmanas are based. From that basis, Vedas are based. There are seven pillars of Vedic civilization. The foundational principle is cow, on which Brahmanas are living. Because of Brahmanas, Vedas have importance. Because of Vedas, Sati Stri, the chaste lady, is existing. And then three kinds of men. One who is free from greed, one who is free from envy, and one who is Satya Vachani. Lobha Rahit, Satya Vachani, and Kama Rahit. The seven pillars of Vedas are depending on cows. So I will, better I die and cows live. So the Vedic Sanskruti lives. So you go, okay, if you are convinced that you feel cow is more important than you, be ready to die. So he bowed down with his head. And the lion was supposed to jump in the sky and devour him. So he bowed down to get devoured. And he was expecting lion will come and pounce on him and finish him off. Instead of lion, he jumped in the air, but he became a garland of flowers and fell in the neck of the king Dilipa. And that is Nandini said, I am very pleased with you. I tested you. You proved yourself. So now you will get a son. So he got a son called Raghu, on which Ram's kul is known as Raghukula. So that great Raghu was born as his son. And in that dynasty, King Abhay Karna came. And Abhay Karna was brought by Shatrughna to Barsana when he was the king of Braj Mandala in Treta Yuga on behalf of Lord Ram. Shatrughna actually maintained Braj Bhumi. So he brought Abhay Karna in the same the king of the same Vamsha, and established him in Vrindavan Dham. And Abhay Karna, in his Vamsha, Rashanga Raja took birth, and Rashanga established Barsana as a kingdom. And in Rashanga's Vamsha, Vrishabhanu Maharaj was born. This is another history. And the third history is very simple and small. It's a very long story, but I cut it short. The demigods Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh, they were one time talking about chastity and the most chaste lady, and they were about to declare who is the most chaste lady, and Brahma's wife, Vishnu's wife, and Shiva's wife were thinking that their name will be declared because they are the greatest of ladies, Sati. But Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh said, no, the real Sati, the real chaste lady lies on the earth. So who is that? It's Anasuya, the wife of Atri. So the wives of Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh were not envious, but they wanted to expose the glory, reveal the glory of that lady. So they said, no, no, we don't believe it. We want you to go and test her. So Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh went and tested her, and by throwing water on their body from the husband's kamandalu, she made them toddling naked babies, and they stayed there. Because they asked, Bhavati Bhikshan Dehi, so yes, yes, I will give you what you want, please eat. So we have one condition, you have to serve us naked, then only we can eat your food. So she understood the trick. There is some trick here. So she brought the kamandal of her husband and sprinkled water on them, and they became naked toddlers, babies, you know, crawling babies. And then she removed her clothes and she served them. And in turn they became so attached to her as mother that they could not leave her. And they stayed there only. And they were all playing there all time, and Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh, their wives were upset, and they went and saw and met Anasuya and asked her, where are our husbands? So she said, look at them, they are playing there. And they saw their husbands as a crawling naked babies, you know, playing on the ground. They were so sad. They said, no, please, mother, please give us back our husbands. So she again dropped the kamandala of her husband, Atri Muni, and sprinkled the water. And the three toddling babies became Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh. So they said, we are so attached to you by temporarily being your children, experiencing your vatsalya. We want to become your real children. Please bless us. So Brahma begot, Brahma came as her son, as Chandra Devata. So Brahma took birth in her womb as Chandra Devata, moon god. Vishnu took birth from Anasuya's womb as Dattatreya, and Lord Shiva took birth as Durvasa Muni from the womb of Anasuya. Look at the power of chastity. She was so dedicated to her husband that she used with so much of faith the water that husband had, you know, that did puja in the morning, and the remnants of the water, Abhimantrit Jala, the most potent Jal, which is empowered by the prayers and shlokas of prayers by Atri Muni. She had so much faith in that water that she sprinkled that water and she turned the three biggest demigods into toddler babies. But along with the benediction, she said, "You came to test me here. I will curse you for your arrogance to come and having tested me. You all will become stone." So they three became mountain. And in one of the kalpas, it is explained in Devi Bhagavata, that in one of the ancient kalpas, Lord Ramachandra himself established these three mountains in Braj Bhumi. Brahma mountain in Barsana, Shiva mountain in Nandagaon, and Vishnu mountain in Vrindavan as Govardhan. So these three mountains have become mountains so that they can allow Lord Krishna and his devotees to perform pastimes over their heads. Another story, the itihasa, the history. Now, we have a few minutes more. There are four mountains. The first mountain is called Bhanugad. The Bhanugad is where Bhanu Maharaj, Bhishmanu Maharaj lives. There is his house where he has his wife Kirtida, his elder son Sri Dama, who is the best friend of Krishna, then Rala Rani as a second daughter, and the third daughter is Ananga Manjari, Lord Balaram, who desired to enjoy conjugal relationship with Krishna, took birth as Ananga Manjari, the younger sister of Rala Rani, to assist her and help them, serve them in Madhurya Rasa. And all of you know that Radha Rani had told Krishna that she will not open her eyes, listen to anything, speak anything unless she sees him in this leela of earthly pastimes. When she took birth in the lotus flower in Raval, by the way, in scriptures it is mentioned that she also has taken birth in Bhanu Mahal, in Bhanugad, in the house of Bhishmanu Maharaj, in one kalpa. And in this current kalpa, in the previous yuga of our yuga, Dwapar Yuga, Radharani took birth in Raval. In a thousand petals golden lotus, she appeared as a effulgent golden baby, and Brahmaji appeared in the sound Akashvani and told that you were Suchandra and Kirtida in the past life, and you had done tapasya, and I had blessed you that you will get the internal potency of Krishna, Antaranga Shakti, as your daughter. Please take her away as your daughter home and raise her. So they were extremely pleased. And then, but they were sorry also, because such a beautiful effulgent, golden effulgent girl with such a komal, such a soft limbs, Krishangi, so beautiful she was, such beautiful eyes, but they were closed. She couldn't respond to any toy making sound. Neither she made any sound by her own sweet mouth. That worried them. Narad Muni came with calculation, and then Narad Muni saw that, oh, is there any baby girl here? They said, no, there's no baby girl here, only boy we have. Because they were embarrassed, they thought, such an inauspicious news, how can we tell? So they told lie out of embarrassment. And Narad Muni went away in puzzled condition, that how my calculation can go wrong? And then the ladies at home, they told Mother Kirtida, these saintly personalities are greatly powerful. By their mercy, what cannot happen? Maybe with his mercy, she can open her eyes. She can speak, she can hear. What does that mean? We should never tell lies to saintly people. Never. Never hide anything. Always be open. We may not tell other worldly people, but saintly people, we should never hide. But they did that. But who saved her? Who saved them? The sincere devotees who were around them, the gopis. They advised that what a great soul can do. And because of that, they gained, regained their real, real understanding. And they sent for Narad Muni again. Narad Muni came back and Narad Muni said, "You don't worry. They showed him the baby. And Narad Muni said, "You arrange a good festival for her birth. And don't forget to call Krishna Balaram and Nanda Yashoda and Rohini." So they were hesitating to celebrate Radharani's birth, but Narad Muni on the same day came and said, "Please celebrate." So they arranged a big celebration and they called Nanda Baba, Yashoda, Rohini, Krishna, Balaram. They were very happy in embracing, talking to Krishna, Yashoda, Nanda and Rohini. In the meantime, Krishna crawled and went inside. In the cradle, Radharani was sleeping without opening her eyes. And by the aroma of Krishna's divine body and by the sweet touch of Krishna's hand to the body of Radharani, she opened her eyes and she cried, she did kilol. And by a sweet resounding sound, everybody came running to the cradle and they saw Radharani opened her eyes. And she was smiling and she was making beautiful sounds called kilol. Kilol means not noise, it's a very beautiful, pleasant sound. And Krishna was standing next to, he was also crawling, he couldn't stand anymore, but he was holding the cradle and standing, taking support of the cradle. And Radharani was smiling, he was smiling. So her beloved she saw first. What do we learn from this? This is how our life should be. Focused on Krishna. One pointed attention, one pointed dedication. Nothing else. Anya vilashita shunyam. Only dedicated to Radharani. To Krishna. And in such a life, Krishna is always there with us. If we are dedicated like this. If we are focused, he will be focused on us. Because she was determined, Krishna had to come to fulfill her desire, to appear there, to show her himself first. And that's how she made first sound in her life. That's how we make our children first sound, Krishna, Rama, Hare. So they begin their life with auspicious sound vibrations. The first word they utter is Krishna. We should train them like that. And in Bhaktivedanta Hospital, when children are born, we play Prabhupada's Kirtan, Hare Krishna. So child is coming out and hearing Hare Krishna. The first sound to be heard is Krishna's name. First word to be uttered, Krishna's name. First person to be seen is Krishna. So this is the real life. So then after some time, because demons were coming and coming and coming and attacking, so Upananda Baba discussed with Nanda Baba. They had a meeting at Chaurasi Khamba and they decided, okay, let's move from here. It's no more safe to live here. So Vrishbhanu Maharaj was a friend of Nanda Maharaj, said, okay, I will also move. So both of them moved. Nanda Maharaj moved to Nandagaon. Vrishbhanu Maharaj moved back to Barsana and established himself in Bhanugarh. That's what we are talking about. The Mahal, the palace of Vrishbhanu Maharaj. And imagine what kind of pastimes take place there. There is no time much now, but still I will tell you one pastime. That everybody has to come there as a lady, except Vrishbhanu Maharaj, Sudama. Every other person has to come as lady there. And one time, Krishna, always stealing things from gopis, constantly is talking to Radharani, and suddenly Radharani is this money on the forehead he will pluck. He will pluck his her earrings, sometimes take her nakavesar. Suddenly you talk to him and you find that, this ornament is missing. This money is missing from here. And then they will check Krishna, they'll find, it's in the pocket. So Krishna said, "I don't know, when I was talking to her, so mesmerized, when my hand went to you, when my hand plucked up the jewel and when my hand put it in my pocket, I didn't know. I'm very sorry, it's all happening uncontrollably." But they knew that he was always cheating them. Always stealing something, something constantly picking up from their bodies. They were fed up, and then on top of that, he would come home and steal butter and yogurt and everything, constantly, in one sense, troubling them. So they decided that, okay, we'll teach him one day good lesson. So one day they called him and, instead of stealing butter, they said, "Okay, okay, sit down. Why steal? We have got not only butter, we have got all sweetmeats, fruits, vegetables and all succulent things and chusya, lehya, all kinds of items. Please sit down and nicely honor prasad." So that day all the gopas sat down. They were looking in the sky whether the sun is arisen in west direction today. Is there, what is auspicious today? There's no fight, no argument. Everything is free of charge, available. So they all sat down in row, and all the gopis fed them to the neck. And then, you know, Krishna was so loaded that Krishna little bit leaned on the ground, put the hand on the ground, and still they fed him. Then he lay on the ground and still they fed him, you know, eating, he slept there only. All the cowherd boys went to sleep. Because they were fed so much with so much of love. And then they all confirmed that Krishna has gone to sleep. And they took away all his ornaments. Every single thing from tip to toe, whatever he was wearing. Every single thing from the ankle belts to the kummer belt, waist belt to arm belts, to the necklaces, to wrist belts and arm belts. Every single thing, including the golden chain, tucked up with the peacock feather, everything they stole. And they ran away. And after some time, you know, when the digestion was reasonably over, he woke up and he saw that everything is gone. And he realized, oh, gopis have done a trick. No problem. So he went back home. Mother Yashoda said, What is this? Where are the ornaments? He said, no, don't worry, mother. Some people tricked me today. But I guarantee you, I'll get all the ornaments back. Just give me some time. So Krishna went to sleep. And next day he woke up and all the morning course was done. And he left. And suddenly one beautiful girl came to Yashoda with long veil. And Yashoda was so attracted to her. Yashoda said, oh, beautiful girl, who are you? Please tell me, I've never seen you before. Please reveal your identity. So that girl uplifted her veil. And that was Krishna himself. So Yashoda asked, what is the secret today? She said, mother, don't worry. You will come to know why I have taken this form. I will tell you a little later. Let me go. I'm very busy. So he went. Again put his veil down. As Shama Gopi, as Shama Sati, he entered Barsana. And as soon as he entered Barsana, he started saying, Krishna, Sham Sundar, and he fell unconscious. That means she fell unconscious. So all the gopis gathered. They said, oh wow, who is this girl? Then they made her, you know, wake up. Who are you? She said, I am from Nandagaon. I just got married in Nandagaon with some gopa. But they were so impressed with her love for Krishna. They said, what a love. None of us have such love. And again she said, Krishna, and she fell unconscious. And more gopis gathered. Every time she said, Sham Sundar, and she fell unconscious. Now they were so impressed that all thousands of gopis gathered around this new gopi. And they said that this girl must meet Radharani. Must meet Radharani. Radharani must know that some new girl has come who has so much love for Krishna. So then she was taken all the way up to Vrishbhanu Mahal, where he wanted to go, she wanted to go. And Radharani had all the stock of Krishna's stolen ornaments. It had been stored there. So this gopi was brought there. And Radharani came out. And they said, look at this girl. She's so beautiful. She's come from Nandagaon, you know. As soon as Radharani came, again this girl, Shama Sakhi, said, oh, Sham Sundar, and she fell unconscious. And Radha was so impressed. Wow, what kind of love. Just by uttering name, she's falling unconscious. And this time, they were trying to fan her, trying to sprinkle water. She was not getting up only. And for a long time, every time she woke up, whenever they tried, but this time she was not becoming conscious. They tried all their means to the extent they were all getting scared. What to do? She may die now. They even put cotton at her nose. It was not moving. Hardly any movement, almost no movement. So then they became alarmed. My God, what to do? So Lalita was asked, Radhari was so upset. She said, Lalita, tell me what to do. So they discussed Lalita Vishakha and they said, okay, what we can do to alleviate her separation, the pain of separation, is that we will dress up Radharani as Krishna. Because anyway, we have all the ornaments of Krishna, so we'll dress up Radharani as Krishna. So some of you girls just keep fanning her and keep putting water to her. We'll go and quickly dress up Radharani. They all went inside and they dressed up Radharani with all Krishna's ornament. They made him Krishna, they painted him blue. And she was brought outside with her flute. Even the flute was stolen. And she came out and stood as Krishna in Tribhangi form. And the gopis whispered, Gopi, wake up, look, Krishna has come. And that Shama Sakhi jumped from the unconscious condition, threw her veil away and said, you feel you're so smart. I caught you with red-handed nature. You have stolen all my ornaments. Give back my ornaments. And all the gopis suddenly, with the turn of events, were so shocked. Radharani was in Krishna's dress. Krishna's ornaments were so shocked. He was pointing fingers at them, ordering, remove all the ornaments and give me back. So all the gopis ran. And Krishna stood like a boss with his hands on his waist. And one by one, all the ornaments they were giving back. And Krishna went on dressing all the ornaments. Finally, the golden chain and the peacock feather came. And Krishna said, put on my head. And all the gopis went and tied up the golden chain with peacock feather. And finally, the flute was given to him. And Radharani was so ashamed. Gopis were so ashamed that he caught red-handed. He said, see, never try to do the trickery again. I will embarrass you further. And he just moved his flute and went away and met Mother Yashoda. See, Mother, I told you, I'll get all my ornaments back. I got the ornaments back. So like that, so many beautiful pastimes take place in Bhanugad. Krishna also became Gopadevi one time to test Radharani's love for him. And he couldn't maintain his Gopadevi form for a long time. He had to give up that form and made Radharani close her eyes and left his disguise and came as Krishna back. The long story, some other time we'll tell. But such beautiful pastimes take place in Bhanugad. Such beautiful, intimate, loving pastimes. In such intimate, intense loving pastimes, demons cannot come. How can they come in such intense pastimes? That is why Radharani made Kamsa into a woman and warned him, if you ever come again here, I'll make you a permanent woman. So Kamsa promised her, I will never come here again. So she said, okay, take bath in my pond and you'll regain your body of a man. And Kamsa jumped in, got the body of a man and ran to Mathura, never to come back again. Why Radharani did that? Because she wanted to maintain that atmosphere in Barsana, to have the most intense and intimate loving pastime where demons just cannot come and interfere. They can come and interfere in Gaucharana and Krishna can kill them every single day. But no demon, no Kamsa has entered ever in Barsana, Nandagaon and Javat area. That is the glory of this place. It's the most innermost chamber of Krishna's house in Barsana. And such also pastimes take place in Damgarh, such pastimes take place in Vilasgarh, and the most intimate and most unbelievable, inconceivable pastime of Maan Leela takes place in Maan Mandir. So we should go to Barsana, visit these places where Krishna has performed such loving, intense, intimate pastimes with Radharani and Gopis. At Damgarh, he begs for love. At Mangarh, she gets angry. And what Krishna does? Krishna bows down to her, offers his peacock feather, surrenders at her feet, bows his head at her feet, washes her feet with his tears, rolls in the dust under the feet of Radharani, and then dances as peacock to please her. So many things he does to please her. He cries tears of love. He proved that to Jayadev Goswami. This is all fact. This is true. I bow down to her. I roll in the dust under her feet. So this is Barsana. This is Radharani. The jewel of the heart of Krishna. The Navaneet in the ocean of milk in the heart of Krishna. The Hridaya Sanjivani of Krishna. The whole sustenance of Krishna. The whole maintenance of Krishna. The whole support of Krishna. The ashray of Krishna and ashray of all of us also. Let us all bow down to Radharani and beg for her mercy so that she can deliver us also. She can give us the jewel of Krishna, our Vishaya Vigraha. So on this auspicious day of Radharani's appearance day, we all pray, Tada Karishya Sihamam Tipa Kataksha Bhajanam. O Radhe, when you will cast your merciful glance upon us and bless us with devotion to our beloved Lord Shyam Sundar. Jai Sri Radhe. Thank you very much. So now, if there are any questions, you can ask. Yes, yes, yes.
So the question is from another listener of the He's asking that Hare Krishna Prabhu Dhanva Kara, you have described the exceptional mood of Srimati Radharani's divinity, Prasana, Ma, which are the real nectar of your chief. My question is, what is the best way to please or serve the Vrajvasis? Since generally, devotees are pestered for Lakshmi, etc., chastised if we do not donate, although we don't want to offend anyone, anyway, including by asking this question. So please tell
me. If somebody comes to you asking money, like the pandas and all, you give whatever you can, you know, whatever lowest, higher, whatever you can afford with your, but do, whenever they ask you, just give something. Because we are in a city and we earn money and we may not be millionaires, but the kings have stopped maintaining the pandas there. They have to beg because they don't have any other source. But they now do in a very harassing manner. So just to not disturb our mood of visiting Barsana, I always keep some small currency notes, bundles in my hand, in my bag. And I just don't even take out the bundle. I just put my hand in the pocket and take out one note. I know how much it is. I give them. And I give them to everybody and just run away. And other way of serving is, when there is genuine need, we know the Vrajvasi, he or she is sick, or they need some education. Only if we know, don't just give, we don't know. And not because I am working in Barsana as an eye camp, but I can tell you that all those who come in the camp are genuine people. They are blind, they are losing their vision, and they are not beggars. They are not harassing you, they come to you. So I donate myself also in our camp for the patients to get operated, because when they are blind, they can't read their scriptures, they can't do Rotustiji Mangalarti, they can't have darshan, they can't make rotis, they can't go to toilet on their own, they need assistance, they are dependent on others. So when you do the eye operation, instant they can see, they can walk, they can go to toilet, they can bathe themselves, they can eat themselves, they can go to Sriji Mandir, they can go to, they can read their scriptures, do the part. So we found that the easiest way to please them. So it's 28 years now we are doing that, and every year we get so much of tons of blessings when we go there. And now we are going to build a hospital in Barsana. We already got the road made there now. Very soon we are going to start, after Corona, the construction of the hospital. So we don't donate there, so that Vrajvasis, we are creating a situation that can serve hundreds of years. The hospital can be there and it can serve the, we all, next generations can go there and serve, our generations can go and serve and get the blessings of Radharani. Hare Krishna. Another way of serving Radharani, pleasing her, is serving Vaishnavas. In Mumbai, in Bahrain, wherever you serve the devotees of Radharani, Radharani is very pleased.
Thank you, Prabhu. My next question is that the pastimes with Radharani are very sweet. But how can that be helpful to us in our devotional service? Because many times we are not mature enough to understand the sensitivities of these pastimes.
Yeah, so that's why before, as I said, we have to create our mood. Before we even hear the pastimes of Radharani and Krishna, first we have to create a lot of awe and reverence and a lot of faith and trust, and do not hear this katha for entertainment or entertaining or feeling happy. These kathas are not for entertainment. These kathas are for purification. These kathas are to be heard with great awe and reverence. In worshipping mood, we should worship the katha. Worship them by hearing them attentively with great respect. That should be our mood. And we should not hear from anybody. We should hear from bona fide sources. And our acharyas have described those pastimes. We have learned from them. Hearing, it's like we have heard that these pastimes are like the milk of tigress. Everybody cannot drink it. Only tiger baby can drink it. Other people cannot drink it. And you also need a special vessel to hold the tigress milk. So, we have to be qualified to hear this by our sadhana, our service, our humility, our Vaishnava seva. And never be in the entertainment mood. When whenever we get chance to hear, we must hear. We should not avoid hearing. But don't give up your service and go run to hear to entertain yourself. Service is foremost important. And the right way of hearing the katha is, if you are just hearing the katha, turns up and culminates into more service from your side, then you can understand that you have heard it in right mode. That you are hearing this katha should turn into more service from your side to Krishna and to devotees. Yes, Prabhuji, third question.
Yes, first question to you, Prabhuji. So, Prabhuji, the question is that you have glorified the significance of Braj Raja Barsana. However, our Gaudiya Acharyas have held Radha Kund as the highest goal of spiritual acts. So, please clarify, as you mentioned, when Krishna adored Braj Raja Barsana.
Actually, Radha Kund and Barsana are equivalent. Radha Kund, by one pastime, Krishna has glorified it, and of course, our acharyas have glorified and glorified as the highest abode as Radha Kund. But wherever Radha is most dear and most glorious place for Krishna. That is why he glorified Radha Kund as the highest of holy place. The water is a liquid prema of Radharani. One who takes bath in Radha Kund will be as dear as Radharani to me. Will get love of Radha's heart to you. He blessed. At the same time, he goes to Barsana to become gopi, rolls in the dust. So, a different way of expression that this is also very dear to him. He cannot stay without going to Barsana. So, as per our logical understanding, Barsana and Radha Kund are equivalent. The mercy available there is equivalent. But still, we obey and understand the mood of our acharyas, and we respect Radha Kund, and every day in our prayer, Radha Kund, Shyam Kund is there, and mental darshan is there every day. Every single day before every single class, we remember Radha Kund, Shyam Kund, we remember Ladli Lal, Barsana equally. So there is no business for comparing or, you know, debating about who is superior, what is superior. It's all our divine. Supremely divine places. Yes, Prabhuji.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you very much for giving your time. Now I would request this great Parikshit Prabhu from Ontario Hills.
Jai.
To say what of thanks.
Jai Parikshit Prabhu ki. We bow you.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Very much. Please accept my humble obeisances. Thank you very much for such a wonderful and excellent class on the occasion of Sri Radha Ashtami. We are really actually being very honored to have you here from you. A very nice mix of Tattva about Srimati Radharani setting the proper mood, how Krishna is Ras Vigra and Radharani is Ashtra Vigra, our supreme most shelter, and a very nice blend of sweet pastimes to relish the pastimes, and at the same time, how to have a proper mood. That this person should be seen in which mood. So, we were actually transported from Middle East to Sri Barsana Dham, to Real Katha. So, we are sitting in Mumbai, we are sitting in Middle East, but all of us together went to Sri Barsana Dham.
Yay.
In the mercy of Sri Mati Radharani, and hearing such sweet pastimes about Sri Barsana Dham, Sankripur, the tax collection pastimes, and how Krishna is also like subordinate to the love of gopis and Radharani. So, and plus he also gave us some very nice take-home messages also, that how we should not lie towards the sadhus and how our focus should be on exclusively on Krishna. So we are eagerly waiting for you, Prabhuji. Actually, as Prabhuji said, that this is like the navneet from the ocean of the milk, and we just got a little bit of taste of this navneet, and Prabhuji has got so much of ocean of pastimes of like Barsana, Srimati Radharani, Krishna, and all those places, wonderful places to share with us. And this 1 hour cannot do justice, not at all. Just a very, very small little trailer which Prabhuji has given us.